Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so excited to introduce to you the Ms. Kathy Loftman, who is also a fabulous director for the Greater Houston area. She's our executive director, and she owns that title because she's so fabulous. So, Kathy, why don't you just take it on from here?
Thanks, Tanya. I really do love when we have these telesummits. We do these often, and Tanya works so hard to put these opportunities together for us as speakers to be able to bring our message to you, our listeners, but also for us as a group to learn from each other. So I really enjoy these for both of those reasons. One, that I do get to connect with you, our audience, and share information helpful to you in your life and in your business. But I also love the fact that I have the opportunity to learn from all of the other presenters as well. One of my favorite things about PSA, and I think if you polled all of us, you would probably get this as a pretty common answer, is that the one of the greatest attributes of PSA and one of the greatest benefits of being a part of it are the people that you get to bring into your life and into your circle. And I know that if we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with, my average definitely went up when I started having some associations with some of the people that I have met through the PSA. So I'll thank Tanya for having me here and providing this opportunity. But we've also, I just want to remind everyone again, I know Tanya reminds everyone too, but this month's group, this particular telesummits group, it's always impressive, but this one is particularly so. As I was reading through all the topics, extremely impressed. So before I get started, I want to personally take the opportunity to invite you to catch as many of the sessions as you can, and don't forget the fact that they're recorded and available on the website, not just for this summit, but for the others as well. But let's get started, and let's get into the topic at hand for today. And I'll tell you that just as a little bit of background for me, other than being a part of PSA, is that I'm a master strategist and certified life coach. And so that obviously affects some of the topics and things that I speak about because it's my platform. And so it becomes pretty easy for me when we come to the month of January choosing a topic. And the reason for that is because I really think in the month of January, we all share something in common, a lot more than you might think, because in January, all of us pretty much start strong. We have this renewed sense of purpose for the new year. We've made goals. Some of us have chosen focus words. We've got our resolve, and we are ready to take on the world. And usually by about this time in January, when we're coming towards the end of January, we're starting to struggle. We're starting to struggle a bit with all the promises we made and those goals that we set. The realities of life have happened and come in, and we're just starting to think, oh, might feel a little bit overwhelmed or already start being disappointed that we haven't kept up with things the way maybe we really wanted to. So today, I'd like to help with that. I'd like to help you with that and share some things with you that will help you do some course corrections and get back on track. Struggling does not have to mean we give up. Struggling is just the struggle, and we get through it. It can be our opportunity to get smarter about what we're doing and how we're approaching things. So the title of this presentation is How Smart Are Your SMART Goals? Because we've all heard the acronym about goals and making them SMART. But before we talk about what it actually means to have SMART goals, I want to share with you some things we need to consider even before that. Because even before we get to the goals, we got to talk about what happens before. What's the pre-show? Where does all of this really start? And I'm going to tell you, without question, it's in our mindset. One thing is really certain. For you to do anything, for us to accomplish anything, we have to believe it's possible, and we have to believe it's possible for us. Without that foundation, everything else we're going to talk about today is not going to matter. Because our mindset works like a thermostat. I'm sure you know what that is. Just like the thermostat in your house controls a lot of systems in your house, our mindset is the thermostat that controls a lot of our life systems. And if our thermostat is set to, I can't, even slight gains are going to correct themselves back to, I can't. You know, Henry Ford once said it like this, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Because we make it so. So first step, believe it's possible and believe it's possible for you. That's what we're going to call M1, me to the first power. For me to get started, I have to believe it's possible and possible for me. For M2, we're going to move to motivation. Why does motivation matter even before we get into the goals? Because just as we've seen and we've talked about where we are now in January, life happens. Life can be pretty disruptive, and we need something to keep us moving forward even when it's not easy. And here's where that question of why comes into the equation. And sometimes we might have to ask that question multiple times to get to the real answer. That's our true motivation. So let's just do a little exercise with that. I want to do X. Why? Because I need Y. Why do I need Y? So that I can have Z. Think about that. We want to do X because we need Y so that we can have Z. Ah, now we have the real why. We actually want to have Z, and we believe by doing X, we will have Y, which will give us Z. Now, I'm playing with those letters because for everything you want, those are different fill-in-the-blank, aren't they? But if you go through that exercise, you're going to find and get to your real motivation. But let's take a talking example to make it even clearer. Let's say that the original statement is, I want to be debt-free. Why? So I can have more available income to do what I want to do. Well, why do I want more available income? Because I want to invest in my business, or I want to travel more, or whatever the real desire might be. You see how that works? Getting the real reason front and center in our mind gives us that picture. I'll tell you that this is why vision boards are growing in their popularity. We get to that why so we can get past the rough spots along the way. Getting it really front and center makes a huge difference. It's like, you know, what's going to be enough when the going gets tough? That's where you have to make sure that you're asking that question. But M1 and M2 together, that M1, M2 together, while they're powerful, they're still not enough. We need M3. We need my M to the third power. And that last M is what I call method. Because what works for me might not work for you, and vice versa. We have to believe it's possible and that it's possible for us. That makes us willing to do the work. We have to know why we want it, which is what makes us willing to make the sacrifice. But ultimately, we have to do the work in a way that works for us. I'm going to talk a little bit later more about some of my goal challenges as a writer, but let me share an example here as well. Some writers need to write every day. Some writers need to take longer stretches and do nothing but write. They reserve entire days, weekends, weeks, perhaps months just for writing. Writers' retreats have grown in their popularity for those groups. If you were to tell the writer that works best by writing every day, that they had to change and only write one day a week, we'd be setting them up to fail. That entire day of writing would overwhelm them. Conversely, if you told the writer that works best with longer spans of writing time, that they couldn't do that anymore, and they had to start writing in short spurts every day, their creative flow would be disrupted. We have to find the method that works for us in whatever goal we're working to achieve. whether you're adding something into your routine or you're taking something out, it's the same thing. We have to find the method that works for us. M to the third power, me to the third power, the power of three for me. So that's our foundation. And that's where our main discussion points come into play. Because when we get to method, let's start talking now about the actual process of the goals and how we achieve them. So just how smart are our goals? Let's break it down with the acronym SMART. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound. I know you've heard it. I'm sure you've sat down, even gone through some goal seminars and workshops for it. But do we really leverage the true power of those definitions for goals? I'm not certain we do. I know in my case, certainly I haven't always. And I think in at least one case, we might even want to change the word. But let's just back up a minute again and talk about why it matters that we have this discussion. And here's what I would say. If the thought of goals right now today for you isn't something that puts a spark in your day, it's going to be because of one of these two reasons. You're either unhappy with your performance to the goals you've set in the past, or the goals that you're working on right now seem overwhelming. So let's get back to why this matters to you and why it's going to make a difference. If you're achievement-driven, you know the importance of goals. You know that to get the results you need, you have to have those goals. But let's guarantee that you're doing the right things every day to make them happen. Let's turn what I like to I call it turning powerless effort into effortless power. We've all seen the hamster on the wheel going round and round and round. That's powerless effort. We're going nowhere. But we want to get to effortless power, so we're just gliding through it. I like to think of it as ready, set, and done. What I can tell you from coaching hundreds of people over the past few years is that whoever you are and however many goals you've set, one of us, all of us at one time or another have run up against that wall of I'm not getting done what I want to get done, I'm not achieving what I want, and I am feeling overwhelmed. So don't feel alone in that. Don't feel alone there, because all of us have been there and all of us can get past there. So let's learn how to set the goals in a way that we set ourselves up from the beginning to attain them. So back to our acronym, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Let's go through them. Specific. This is where we find the first breakdown. We all have a different viewpoint of what it means to be specific. I would recommend that you consider the word clear instead. We can be over-specific in some ways and miss opportunities, but we can never be too clear. You need to be very clear about what the goal is about and why you are working toward it. Part of being clear is about having some context for the goal, that motivation we talked about. For example, let's say you want to improve your health. Why do you want to improve your health? How are you going to improve your health? What specific and clear outcome do you want? Let's compare some statements. My goal is to walk every day. Would be statement number one. Statement number two might be, my goal is to walk 1 mile every day. Statement number three, my goal is to be able to increase my stamina by walking a minimum of 1 mile every day. That first statement's specific, isn't it? My goal is to walk every day. But it's still too vague. We all walk every day. How much? Okay. We get better when we add in the distance, but still, it's not clear what you're really setting out to do. By that third statement, I have my what, my how, and my why, it's all there. I want stamina. I need that to live the life that I want, and to get that, I'm going to walk a minimum of 1 mile every day, super clear and specific. The second letter, M, references measurable, so let's talk about what that means. Because here's where we struggle, I think, is that sometimes we limit ourselves to one measurement, and that's just the outcome. We don't give ourselves enough points or milestones to measure in the process. How will you know you have achieved the goal? That's one measure. But let's consider measurements as tracking our progress towards the goal. I mean, you know, there are organizations out there like Weight Watchers that have built an entire model around this kind of progressive accountability. Let's follow and measure our progress to what it needs to be, because that's what's going to help us recognize when we start veering off track. Don't wait till the end and be discouraged and hard on yourself. Let's create some space for ourselves to recovery. So let's go back to that first example and see how this might apply. If you don't have any activity in your life right now, if you were to say, I'm going to start walking a mile every day, that might not be the smartest course of action. You might have to break it down. So there's approximately 2,500 steps, as an example, in a mile for the average person. So you could put in some milestones that gradually increase. My goal is to increase my stamina by walking a minimum of 1 mile per day. I will begin with 500 steps per day and increase by 250 steps per day until I reach my goal of 1 mile or 2,500 steps per day. Now you can see I can achieve that incrementally. I can feel good about that. Now, I haven't compromised my goal. I'm working towards it. If your goal is about money, this is really important. For example, if you said, I want to be debt-free in some area by a certain date. Maybe you say, I want to be debt-free with credit cards. I don't want to have any credit card debt by the end of the year. You better have what you're going to do in January and February and March and April. What are you doing to incrementally reduce that debt along the way to keep you on track? The most successful programs will all have check-in activities along the way. So number one, for SMART, be specific and clear about what you're doing and why you're doing it. For measurable, don't just measure the end, measure the process. And that brings us to the third letter, which is A. In most standard definitions, that's where we have the word achievable. It's no accident that this is in the middle because it's the epicenter. But here again, we don't always have a common understanding of the word achievable. So we think, okay, well, I can achieve it or not achieve it. But let's try substituting achievable with actionable. If your goal is not 100% achievable by your actions, then it's not really achievable as a goal. It might be a great outcome or circumstance that you might hope for, but it's not within your power to actually achieve it if it's not based on your actions. And that's, again, where we stumble, because we've created dependencies from other people or circumstances. So make sure that your goal is about your action or inaction, if that is the case. Stay away from any outcome that's dependent on other people or circumstances. Going back to our health example, there's a vast difference between setting a goal to increase your stamina versus setting a goal to walk a certain number of steps or spend a certain amount of time exercising. You see, one is an outcome. Increasing your stamina, that's an outcome. The goal is walking a certain number of steps. The stamina is the why, it's an outcome, but you need to make sure that there's an action in there for you. And make sure that the actions are your actions and not someone else's. The best way for you to know if what you're setting out to do is really based on your action or not is to simply ask yourself, what would prevent it from happening? What would prevent you from being able to do it? If what would prevent you from being able to do it is outside your control, then it's an outcome and it's not your action goal. I really can't stress enough the importance of this, because it is where people get discouraged because they start feeling powerless to reach their goals. Make sure that you're doing this. This is where I mentioned before in my work as a writer, because even though I speak and I work as a strategist and life coach, I'm also a writer. And I've really had to focus here, because if I were to just say that my goal is to be a published author, that's quite different from saying I'm going to write a minimum of 500 words per day on my book manuscript. And in fact, until I said I'm going to write a minimum of 500 words per day, I didn't make real progress. When I said I'm going to do that for 90 days, my book started getting really actually written. You see, one has many external factors. One is strictly about what I am and can do. Now that we're being specific and clear, we've got those adequate milestones, and we're fully capable of the actions required, we come to that letter R for realistic. And here's where I think we really get into a quandary, because how are we supposed to know what realistic means? I mean, based on what benchmark? Yeah, we want to be reasonable in our approach, but how does that really serve us in terms of being successful? I mean, don't we need to stretch ourselves? I think we do, right? So sometimes a goal might actually look on the surface as being a little unreasonable. Sometimes that's what we need. So here's another perspective on this. What if we were realistic about how many goals we should take on at the same time? Be realistic about how many masters that you can serve. That's not to say that you can't have multiple goals. You can and you should. But if your list of goals is, you know, so long that you start feeling overwhelmed, then it's going to derail you. So one idea I like to tell people to do is what I call the goal rounds approach. Don't begin goals at the same time. Start one, get yourself in a pattern that becomes a habit as you're working to achieve it. Then start the next and do the same, and so on. You're going to know when you have enough. When you start a round of a goal and things start suffering and falling behind, you know you've added one too many into your goals round, and you're going to back off. No, you need to finish one before you bring another one in. And then finally, we come to our last letter of SMART, which is T, for time bound, or time, the ultimate equalizer for us all. This point can sometimes be similar to measurable, because in a lot of ways we put time with measure, but usually in goal reviews it's just referring to a deadline for completion. But here's also where I think we need to think about strategy and set ourselves up for how those milestones look. If this is the first time you and I have spent time together, you might not be familiar with how I define strategy, so let's start there. For me, strategy means simply this: begin with the end in mind. It's incredibly important when we think about time. How we can make this part of the goal-setting process effective is by reverse engineering. So if we say, I want to be done by this date, we reverse engineer and say, okay, for every milestone then, what does that time need to look like? And now we're looking at it all the way through. Everything we're working to achieve has something incremental about it. So within those increments, now we understand time and its relationship to meeting that ultimate goal. So there you have it. Whether you're reviewing the goals that you have now or setting new ones or you're stalled, think about some of these perspectives about what it means about being smart about your goals, and make sure that your SMART goals are in fact SMART. And when they are, what I can promise you is this: you're going to live today like you want tomorrow to be, just by your normal course of actions. And that's our mantra here at McKinsey Circle. We want you to achieve your tomorrows with a higher level of satisfaction and a lower level of stress by living today, beginning today, to live the way you want tomorrow to be. So one of my goals for today, I'm going to share with you one of my goals for today, is that we can continue the conversation. I don't want our conversation, yours and mine, to end here. So to make that happen, I'm going to ask you to take some action. It's a simple step. Just go to my website, which is McKinsey Circle, McKinzieCircle, McKinseyCircle.com/live today, and sign up for my mailing list. So again, that's McKinsey Circle, McKinzieCircle.com/live today. There you'll have an opportunity to sign up for the mailing list, and with my thanks for joining my circle, you're going to receive a complimentary copy of my ebook called Your Success Style. If you go back to the beginning and remember that very first point about getting clear, that ebook is a great tool for that, for helping you get clear about what success means to you and how you will know when you have truly achieved it for yourself. So with that, let's wrap it up, and I will turn it back over to you, Tanya.